Well, good morning, and welcome to our Bible study in Ephesians this morning again. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, and we would like to hopefully finish up this part of the chapter today. And this morning I would like to do an object lesson with us on the topic of armor. So we'll move on to that, but we'll lay a little bit more foundational work. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And we see here again that God, through Jesus Christ, has given us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Christ, or the Godhead, I guess, we'll use the word Godhead to kind of condense. The Godhead has provided us spiritual strength to resist Satan in a spiritual war against our soul. And we want to look into that a little deeper this morning in chapter 6. We're going to read in verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Lord is Christ, referring to Jesus. Power is strength, and might is overwhelming force. Put on the whole armor of God, not of a soldier. It's the armors of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We established last week that the devil is real. He's a real force to be reckoned with in the life of the Christian. And maybe I'll make a minor point here. I remember in my unconverted years, I was sharing my testimony here a while back with somebody, and you know, I never found the devil in my own life to be a mean person. I remember a year in my, I was probably in my early to mid-20s. I used to have fellowship with that world. And I remember how much comfort Satan would give me. He would come into my car, I'd be driving, and that presence would come in. And he made me feel good, he made me feel happy. And so I guess I'd like to point out the fact that sometimes we present Satan as a mean, vicious, aggressive destroyer, and he is. But he will not always come into our lives that way. And when we are needy and we are grasping and we are losing hope, and Satan also comes to us as the ultimate gentleman and the provider. So I think it's important. I just want to lay that out. Satan is both ways. But he's real and he's aggressive. And he's wily, the Bible says, which means sneaky and deceptive. And then it says, verse 12, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That would mean what we see in our world. But against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So not only do we have Satan to deal with, we also have all of his subjects. So then it says, take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore having girded your waist with truth. Now I'd like to, for the beginning of our discussion here this morning, think about the armor that's provided. Truth, I wrote them there. And all of the armor that is given for the spiritual man, and I would make a distinction here. I believe this armor here is not for the new man. I believe there's a distinction here in Ephesians chapter 4. verse 23, it says we're supposed to put off and live in the new man. The spiritual man does not have to put off the works of the flesh. The new man is your body, the new life that you live because you're subject to Christ, okay? The spiritual man is a different part of you. That is where you actively engage in warfare, okay? So don't confuse your flesh and the commandments, and I think it's Colossians and Ephesians talks about putting on the new man. Maybe it's in Romans too. I didn't make notes, so I'm not sure, but the Bible's talking about two different parts of you when we're discussing that, okay? So we're talking about the spiritual man and the armor, and I welcome your feedback and disagreement if I'm wrong about this, but the armor, if you look at what it is all intellectually based. It's based in an understanding of truth. And so, lack of understanding, lack of discernment, is what makes us lose the battle against Satan, primarily. And we want to go through that. That's what our object lesson is going to be this morning. I'm going to play the devil, not for real, but I'm going to ask you questions based on those truths. And after I'm finished reading, I want to come back to a question, and that is, in rebuking the devil in your life, what is the tool that God has given you to destroy Satan's hold in your life? It essentially comes down, I think the scriptures basically bring it down to one thing, more or less. God has provided you one thing to destroy Satan in your life. And it's not Jesus. Jesus in you gives you the power to do it. But there's a tool that God has given you to destroy Satan. The gospel is part of your armor. So anyway, start kind of mulling that over in your head, because sometimes it takes a bit of a while to kind of think about that. How do you destroy Satan in your life? Are we having success in that? So, standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Okay. Keep thinking about this tool that the scriptures have given you in your life. It is also somewhat the same as the tool God has given you to destroy Satan in your brother's life, in the church. Now, don't think too hard, because that's the first mistake we do. We usually try to think of something so deep and so... it's got to be somewhere in Deuteronomy where I haven't read in years. It's not that. It isn't that. It's not. But here in verse 18, I'd like to bring out one point. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Supplication is imploring, or would have the implication of begging or entreating. That would be what supplication is. We're supposed to do it for ourselves and our brother. Ourselves and our brother. But it also says here, all prayer. And this kind of jumped out at me. And I'll ask it as a question to us. How many forms of prayer do you have personally? Do you only pray one way? As in, I kneel beside my bread and pray and talk to God that way. The Bible says here, all prayer. It means there are multiple ways to pray. Okay? How many ways do you pray? And if you only had one, that would mean that there is a bigger arsenal, Jonathan. There is a bigger arsenal that you could use. It's all prayer.
I would say around 4 or 5, maybe.
Yeah, good. Can you list off your, if it's not too personal?
No. Praise. Worship, praise and worship. Thanksgiving. Intercession. Supplication. And thinking of biblical terms, but, begging kind of prayers, supplication, intercession, thanksgiving, worship, probably more than I'm not thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're definitely. Do you, let's say you have a really bad singing voice and it's repulsive to everybody that hears it, but do you, when you're alone, do you pray, do you sing your prayers to God? Rejoicing is one of the biggest weapons, our biggest tools, or states of mind that the Christian can be in when he goes into warfare, and that is rejoicing. Victory comes with rejoicing. And if you're like me and you tend to get wound up tight as a spring, you feel it inside. You can smile broadly and everybody's like, "Ah, he's good." But inside, man, if you touch the button, it would go. What's the best way to get rid of that? It's thanksgiving. Start to think about how good it really is. How good God has really been to you. Is there any other way that the scripture teaches us to pray? Rejoicing. Supplication. Intercessory prayer. Does anybody have any other ideas? Ivor?
I'm putting myself into a trap, but there is different incidents in the Old Testament where prophets reminded God of the promises he made.
Oh, absolutely. That's the bottom line. I agree. God, you said you could and would deliver me. So get it done. And God said, well, why didn't you ask a long time ago? No, absolutely. Holding, God says you receive not because you don't ask. No, God wants you to hold him to. He didn't provide the word to actually get you in a corner. He provided the word to set you free. So when you finally realize that, when we finally realize that there's actually something here that's actually not in my life and I want it in, you say, well, then download it. Absolutely. And if you read through the Old Testament, sometimes the armies went out to battle with singing, and the Lord went ahead of them and smote their enemies, and all they did is sing songs. So I want to bring that out in case, Paul and Silas in prison, they sat there and sang. And, there's something to that. Anyway, you've had some time now to think about this tool. I'd like to ask let's discover this question a bit and then go into our object lesson. What is the tool that the Scriptures give us to rebuke or resist or put off the temptation in our life when Satan comes to destroy you? Joe?
The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Okay. So, you're right. So that's... how is that applied, though? I'm not saying you're not right. I just want to expand your thought. Right now, that's still in the text. Right? We all read that. But how do you take it out of the text and put it in my arsenal of use? You see what I mean? How do you move it from just something that's written in there to actually something that is effective?
Are you thinking of prayer?
No, I'm not. But that's fine. But you do this in prayer.
You speak.
You speak.
You use words in faith.
That's right. Did you have a thought?
Expand on what Ray said. You speak the Word of God and apply it to that particular area of need.
That's right. There is, in the casting out of demons and so forth, Jesus gave a sample of fasting. But fasting is really preparation for yourself. Okay? If you study fasting, fasting and prayer is a way to get yourself ready for something greater. Or to, I don't know, how do I say that? I'm not sure how to say that. But if you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, the one way that Satan has always been destroyed is through rebuke. Not mental rebuke, silently down in your stomach rebuke, but speaking out with your mouth the truth. And that is what disarms the devil in your life. To rebuke him with the Word of God. Actually, and that is, so Joel, you said the Spirit of God, the Word of, all of these here are in the Word of God. And they all have their own effect when we understand what they are. And that's why we need to live and learn how to live and walk in the Spirit, because it's the Spirit then that will speak to us and say, that is a lie, this is truth, and this is the truth in the Scripture. Use this to rebuke him on that. Right? And this will be important in our object lesson that we're going to have. But when Satan comes and tells you that you're a failure, how many have heard that from the Satan? The rest of you are probably lying. Right? Just be honest, right? I didn't look to see you put up. Not really. But it's true, right? So when Satan comes and says you're a failure, for whatever reason that you are a failure about, maybe you're a worrier. Maybe you have besetting sins in your life. You know, maybe you're a lousy husband or wife, or at least you perceive yourself to be that. And Satan is good at reminding us what the Scriptures say, what we should be. Right? If you're in Christ, you shouldn't worry, because God's in control, isn't he? So why do you worry? And he'll condemn you with that. That's why we need the Spirit of God to speak to us. and bring us into the truth. And we stay connected with the Spirit through these various forms of prayer. Okay. So let's have our object lesson now. So take your Bibles. I'm going to play the devil. I'm not the devil. I'm actually born again. But I've been, for weeks, I've been coming up with this literal, not literal thing. And I was sitting in my chair last night. I was thinking, this is lousy. We got to have a, it's got to be a better way. And all of a sudden, I just had this inspiration. I said, well, why don't you try to teach it how you experience it sometimes in your life? So I said, well, you know what? This is what I'm going to try to do. I'm going to play the devil, and I'm going to ask you questions. Okay, so let's go to our first piece of armor in the list, and it's called truth. Now, according to the scriptures, what is truth? Okay, so we have to first establish what truth is. So can someone give me a verse that would be true? Maybe to start this discussion, for an example, go to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to read some things that God says in Christ through the Holy Spirit are true about you, if you're in Christ this morning. Says we have all the Spirit in Christ. Then he goes on to say in verse 4 that God loves you. You are without blame before him in love. So God actually intentionally loves you. Verse 5, it says that you've been adopted. That means you've been accepted into God's family. Verse 7 says that you have been washed in his blood, personally. Now, I personally believe that every sinner that comes to repentance in Christ is washed in the blood of Christ. That's the whole purpose, right? And here it says, you're washed in his blood, you've been forgiven of your sins, verse 7. And verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. How many here believe that? Believe it? I'm looking at the ceiling. Okay, so that's a fact now. That's truth, right? This is truth. Do you want to be my first guinea? Or who wants to be my first guinea pig? Actually, I'll pick on Jason back there. So, I'd like to ask you, Jason, because this is all true, do you agree with it being true, Jason?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So why then do you struggle with so much unbelief in your life? This isn't really about Jason, really. I'm speaking to all of us. But I'm the devil right now, so I don't care who I'm picking on. So think about it yourself. And now what I need all of you to do is go to your Bible and give me an answer. You're in spiritual warfare right now, right? You know the truth. I'm asking you an honest question. Satan is being truthful, right? Where are you going to go in the scripture to rebuke me? How are you going to destroy me and the lie that I put in your life? You are now living effectively in condemnation. Some of you are squirming in your pew saying, I hope he doesn't ask me because I don't know where I'd go. Right? It's how honest you want to be, right? So, would you like to take a shot at that? Okay, let's do this too. If I kind of pick on you and you're not sure, just say, I'm not sure, and you'll be. Because I'm not here to drill into anybody. I'm just trying to help us all understand what armor and how it works is. Not sure, kind of.
Your question is...
Why do you struggle with so much unbelief in your life about Christ's work in your life, given the fact that you know all about Ephesians 1 and all your positional truth that you're in? Can someone help him out? What would you tell the devil? Wayne's going to take a shot at it. See, your other option is to try to be an ostrich and shove your head in the sand and pray more and have longer devotions and actually start being more religious. It's hoping that bad feeling will go away. That's your other option. Your other option is to get up and say, actually, Satan, I got some news for you. Did you have your hand up in the back corner? No? Yeah? Anybody who wants to take... Yeah, go ahead, Wayne.
Romans 7:22.
Okay, let's go to Roman. Okay, give it. Fire away.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members.
Okay. And me being the devil, what do I have to do now? What does the Bible say? If the devil, he will what? Flee from me. Doesn't mean he might not come back in 10 minutes, but on that point, you've disarmed him in your life because you haven't bought his lie. Okay? And you've started to exercise this part of your armor against is of Satan. Okay. What is righteousness according to the scripture? How do you become righteous in the eyes of God? Ivan?
Sorry, but I don't have a comment on the righteousness. But going back,
okay, no problem.
If I may do that.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
You know, sometimes Satan brings accusations against us that are just plain true. You know what? That's who we are.
That's good.
And I think oftentimes it's important to remind Satan that he's been defeated on the cross. You know what? There's nothing left for him when he's reminded of that. But sometimes we are not at the perfect place we would want to think we are. Mm-hmm. And it's good to recognize that and work from there and not just claim we're good when we're not good.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's a really good point. Oh, yeah, go ahead. John.
Just adding to what Ivan said, maybe one scripture that comes to my mind would be, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. You know, so we're not just, because like you said, sometimes there are elements of truth, and that's what makes it so difficult, because it's not like it's just something pulled out of the sky that has no truth to it whatsoever. That would be easy to deal with. But it's those that have an element of truth to it that we kind of have to hang our head and say, you know, there's a lot of truth to that. And I thought of that man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking the same thing Ivan was, in that a lot of times the accusations are true in the body, so to speak. And then a Bible verse that is comforting to me is, well, maybe I'll read 3. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 2. This saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And then this verse, if we are faithless, he remains faithful.
You know, I didn't actually really think about that part. I guess I came to the Bible study with this mighty conqueror mindset, but it's true. Go ahead.
I was just thinking, too, just about what I had commented there. You know what? If we remind Satan, like if we're not fearful of looking at the fact that we're flawed people, like if that doesn't freak us out, guess what? Satan's not going to be that cheerful to come back either. Like if we're not always that humble in our own hearts, but in times that we are, he has no power over us. Because if we remind him that he's been defeated, and we honestly look at our hearts and seek God for a change in our lives, he's just lost a double one.
That's right. You got me thinking now about what would I tell the devil, or what do I tell the devil when he comes and tells me something about myself that's true? Now, I'm going to think about that while I'm going to move on with the Bible study, but I'm going to eventually, hopefully, have time to come back to that point, because, you know, usually the condemnation that Satan brings is in this part of us, right? It's in the body. It's in our flesh. He said, you know better than to covet your neighbor's pickup truck, right? We all know, even from the law, we knew that, right? Why did he keep wanting his truck? Well, I don't know. I just made that up kind of out of my head. Now, don't know if it applies to anything. But the thing is, when Jesus washed you in his blood, he saved this part of you from hell, right? This part of us is a lifelong process of sanctification. Even though positionally you can make the, I think we all believe that positionally at conversion, you know, we are sanctified. But this is what is revived in us when the Spirit of God comes into us. And it's through this connection that we help ourselves win against the lies that Satan say about this part of us. It's hard for me to think about two things at once here, but what is righteousness? What does the Bible say that righteousness is? How do you become righteous? Is it by getting all the issues out of this man's life, out of our flesh, do we become righteous then? How do you become righteous?
In Romans 5:17 says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ." So it's a gift of righteousness if we put our faith in Christ.
That's right. So the righteousness that we cling to is not a righteousness of works which is done in the flesh. It's a righteousness of faith that we cling to because it's a gift. And that might be another counter-argument when Satan comes and says something that's true. You can admit to Satan that, yeah, I am not. You're right. But I'm also in Christ. And so you got to deal with that. Or like, when I was an employee, I used to like to say, well, go deal with my boss. It's not my problem. So you say, well, I defer to Christ. Take it to him if you don't like it. That's not in the Bible, per se. But what is the gospel? One of our pieces of our armor is the gospel. I mean, we call it the good news.
I've thought about that, actually, from time to time, how I would put the gospel in very short words. This is my best attempt. The gospel is the story of how God went about to reconcile broken man to himself.
Absolutely. Again, so take Ray's thought and think about that. And when Satan comes to you, John, and says, well, you know all this. I mean, you preach on it all the time. I mean, point one, two, three, four, point seven, eight, nine, and then you got an amen out of the congregation, so you knew you're right. And then you went home and started laying stone, and you're so faithless. And my goodness, you're even the preacher, right? I'm not condemning you as a person. I'm just being the devil because he is very ruthless. I mean, you're the minister. Where's our deacon? He even left. My goodness. He's not even here. You know what I mean? Satan is cruel. And how would you then... What is the verse you would use to this, to Satan? What would you tell Satan? If he comes to you and reminds you that you know this gospel is so powerful to deliver, why are you not delivered then, Gary? What would you tell the devil? Would you just take it? I mean, you were here a little later. I'm playing the devil. Because you came in late. For those of you who weren't here when we started, I'm playing the role of the devil, and I'm asking you questions about your spiritual warfare. Who came late? Tom, what would you tell the devil from the scriptures? You weren't late, but what would you tell the devil? Yeah, John, sorry. Not an it. Oh, that's fine. It's okay. Paul, what would you say? You're old and wise. Are you sanctified? Do you ever fail? I think he'd say yes.
Things he said it to me, maybe I can answer it.
Sure.
Okay. And it happens all the time. You know, that scenario of going to work the next day and thinking about needs in my life, and certainly very real. But one comment on the righteousness. I believe in the gift of righteousness, imputed but also imparted righteousness, where God makes us righteous in practical ways. And one scripture that I often go to in times like that is in 1 Thessalonians 5, where it says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless." So it's not just our spirit that's preserved, it's also our soul and our body that God makes holy. And so what do I do in that process, you know, when the accusations come and I see my needs and in a sort of a depressing, oppressing, condemning way? You know, I've thought of this scripture different times where it says that he who called you is faithful, who also will do it. And so my response is that God is in the process of preserving me and sanctifying me, and he is faithful to do that. And so I find rest in that.
You're right. And the men and women who becomes, we're running out of time, so I'm going to have to speed up a bit. The men and women who become effective soul winners and have victory in their own life and also can be aggressive in taking down strongholds for others are the people who become skilled with the truth. That's why the Bible says to study to show yourself approved, not so you can get a big fat head of knowledge, but that you can fill up your arsenal with the truth, so when the lie comes, when the truth comes about yourself, you can retaliate with a rebuke that will disarm Satan in your life. Faith and salvation. Obviously, faith is believing in the work of God. Salvation is what has happened in Christ, through Christ. We have been saved. And all of these are ongoing works in our life. Okay? We grow in these things. And they're all revealed in the Word of God. And that's why it's important that we learn to spiritually discern what they are. And learn to hear, learn to walk. Craig Strain's last message, I would say if you didn't hear that, I think it would be very good if you did listen to that. Explained very well what it means to walk in the Spirit. So, it comes down to this, I think. Get comfortable with verbally communicating with the devil, and get comfortable with using the truth of Scripture to oppose him, and not your good intentions of what you were going to do, right? Because the truth is, under all of our clothes this morning and way down deep inside of us, there is a person in there that's needy, right? It's just a fact. That's why Christ came in the first place. And Satan, when you've moved from his kingdom into Christ's kingdom, he wants you back. That's the reason there's a fight. He wants you back. And he'll take you back with lies. That you'll start to believe a lie and apply that lie to yourself as truth. And you'll live in the lie and by default go into bondage. And that's the purpose of the lie of Satan in your life, in my life. So study, become armed. And I would say, you know, I haven't asked a good question there. What do you do when Satan comes and says something that's true? I would say, I would say to the devil, now wait a minute. I'm not what you think I should be, or even what I intend to be. But if I can take you back 10 years and show you what I was and what I am today, answer me that. Because I know what I used to be. And I think I would probably start there with the Scriptures. I was a mean, angry, bitter man, and I was delivered by the power of God. And you're right, there's a loophole in every... But I think it's important to remind this. I think it's important to remind Satan of where you come from, where you were, and where you're going. Because a lot of what we are talking about is not fully realized until we live in the presence of God. Full salvation comes when we shed this flesh and are transformed and we are in the presence of God. Then we're fully saved, right? So when Satan throws the ball down the road and condemns you there, I think we believe it, but I don't believe we should. And to encourage our own hearts, look at where you've come from. Look at where you've been and where you are now. And don't pace yourself with other brothers and sisters. That is a deception. You know, supersonic, super faith brother.
That's good explanation, but what about the thought of Satan came and told me a truth that is actually truth, I have to admit. What about bending to Christ on our knees and saying, God, forgive me, cleanse me from it, and Satan will have to leave too, right?
Actually, good point. I didn't think of this myself. This is something I was taught years ago. But I think it's important. And that is when Satan, the difference between the condemnation of Satan and the conviction of the Holy Spirit is embodied in this one thing. When the Lord comes and tells you, I want you to change this area in your life, He will always provide you the solution to change. When Satan comes and tells you, he tells you, you know what, you're just a massive screw up, but he never gives you solutions. Always condemnation. And you cannot repent through that condemnation. It'll drive you nuts. Because you'll be repenting of things that God is not actually asking you to do. And you are put yourself under Satan's authority. So what you need to do is say, okay, if that's true, then Lord, tell me about it and give me the solutions. The solution comes to deliverance, right? You will never become victorious by repenting about the condemnation of Satan. He is not our deliverer, he is our destroyer. Right? So I think that's important to know. And you can also test the spirits that way. Because if you feel condemned in an area in your life, you can ask that spirit and say, well, what do you want me to do? And if there's no answer, if there's no solution, then you rebuke it and say, that's not of the Lord. The scriptures tell us to check the spirits, to test the spirits. And there's a reason for that. Because Satan comes as an angel of light. He will try to disguise himself. But the difference is that Christ comes with deliverance. Satan comes with condemnation. And we need to go to the side of deliverance. That's why deliverance from sin is a miracle. That's what would be my opinion. Someone else can disagree or add to it if they want. But Satan is no longer our master. Therefore, we no longer give him an ear to his condemnation. Even when he comes and tells us to do the other way, you know you should forgive your brother, and he says, no, you don't have to because of this and this and this. See, there you have the example the other way, right? And that is what I believe the spiritual armor is and how it's applied. And I want to learn how to walk through life using these tools to take the condemnation that, you know, when it comes to me, to take it out of my way. The last little bit here, I'd like to just make a few points. We won't have time to discuss it, but if you go quickly to... chapter 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed when they are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Here, I think this backs up a bit what your question, Ibra. The works of darkness can be exposed by pointing out. I don't know what an example I can use. It's maybe a bit bizarre, but it's the one that's stuck in my head. So you have a man who beats his wife, right? You can come to me and tell me that he shouldn't beat his wife, but you at that point are not exposing the darkness. You're merely pointing out the effects of darkness. The exposing of darkness is by the light. The light is that we see the effects of darkness and say, you know what, with the power of Christ, the deliverance of Christ, and Christ starts to deliver the man from his anger, from his insecurities and his hate. That is what the light exposes. And by him repenting of those things, he will stop doing his sin. And that's what's revealed by the light. And so instead of focusing on our failures and the effects of our failures, Christ wants us to focus on the solutions, the things in our lives that will cause us to stop doing the things that make us fail. And that is the light of Christ. That's the word of God and the power of God in our life. Next week, we'll have our last phase in Ephesians here. And we want to look at chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 9. It talks about children obeying your parents, fathers not provoking your children to wrath, and bond servants being content. So we'll look at that, and then so whoever's coming after me, maybe be prepared for in a few weeks. So.